I come before you as an empty vessel, asking you to fill and anoint me with power and wisdom for the task you have set before me. Help me to realize the possibilities to make a difference in my life, my family, my church, and the world when I align myself with the Almighty God of the universe. Lord, you know my frame, and you remember that I'm dust. You are aware of my sins and my shortcomings. Cover them with the cloak of your love and use me for your glory. Please put flesh on these dry bones.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of part two of Living Under the Anointing. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of part two of Living Under the Anointing.
You know, we don't have a lot of record about some of the things that he did. You know, there's some false gospels that are floating around there, like the gospel of Thomas and the gospel of Peter and the gospel of Nicodemus. So, you know, there's some false gospels that are out there that talk about and say, well, these are some of the things that Jesus did, you know, before, you know, we have the recorded history of his life in the gospels that we find in the Bible. But again, those are what's called Gnostic gospels, and actually they are part of what's called the pseudepigrapha. That's a big word, and all it basically means is false writings, all right? So, you know, there's a reason that they're not in the Bible. There's a reason that they're not in there. And so some of these claim to have some record of the life before he went public. But we really don't read a lot about the life of Christ until after he was anointed, after he was anointed for ministry. And so we have been anointed for ministry. That God has called us to serve him. God has called us to do the things that he wants us to do. And as we go forth, that there should be an anointing upon us. Let me share with you a couple of verses. The first one. And you know what? Until I studied this, this verse is in there, but I've never really noticed it before. Like I did as I was reading in preparation for this message. And that is Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10 in verse 38. Acts chapter 10 in verse 38. Now look, Jesus is God, right? He's God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Now when did he anoint him with the Holy Spirit? At his baptism, right? And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. What did he do when he got anointed? He did good, right? Who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus was anointed to go forth and do good. And so, if Jesus was anointed, he's our example. Whether you want to realize it or not, my brothers and sisters, you've been anointed. God has anointed you to serve him in some capacity. You have been anointed to serve him. But I think one of the most powerful things, and there's a lot of things that we can say about the anointing that's upon us, but let me say one thing that is a point that the anointing that we have, that we are anointed to help people who are hurting. We are anointed to help people who are hurting. Turn to Isaiah 61. Like I said, there's a lot of things I can say about the anointing that's on us for ministry. But I just want to point out one. In Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah says, "The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good news, tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives," those who are addicted, those who are laboring under addictions, to open the prison to those who are bound, those who are wrapped up, those who are tied up. God has anointed me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance, and to comfort all that a mourn, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God has anointed us to minister to people who are hurting. Now, I know the first thing that somebody here is going to say, well, I'm hurting, right? I already read your mind. I'm hurting. And you know, I think about that, and that may be the very reason that keeps some from going and acting out this anointing that's on us, because you're hurting. And so I just want to say that, you know, here at Bethany, we have a counseling ministry. And I would, if you're hurting, you know, we have the first part, and it's called BC1. And it's called, the title of the course is Self-Confrontation. And that's where you learn how to counsel yourself. Because you can't counsel somebody else until you first can counsel yourself. You know, you got to be able to talk yourself down off the ledge before you can talk somebody else down off the ledge. So as we become whole and as we get the anointing upon us, then we are able to go forth and minister to others. You know, there's a group of people that come here every Friday afternoon, and some of the people come in and they're hurting. And I know oftentimes when I come in, and if I'm there to open up in prayer, and then I try to go around and greet people and shake their hands. And one of the things that people will say, you know, pray for me for this. Pray for me for that. And so there's a whole lot of people that come. A whole lot of hurting people that need someone that's anointed, that has been anointed for ministry, you know, to go forth and serve the Lord. And so that's just one aspect, you know, the people who are in pain. But there's a whole other area, or many other areas, where God has anointed us to serve him. Maybe God has anointed you to be an usher at Bethany Baptist Church. Maybe God has anointed you to be a trustee at Bethany Baptist Church. That it actually takes a special anointing, that you have to have the anointing to serve in that ministry. You know, if you stand back at the door and people are coming in the door and you look like a bulldog baptized in lemon juice, I would say you don't have the anointing to be an usher, right? You don't have the anointing, right? Because the anointing, when you have the anointing upon you, you know, I love our worship on Sunday morning. We had a powerful time of worship this morning. And, you know, just to see Dr. Jones up here and leading the choir. And, you know, you can just sense an anointing as he's leading. You know, it's not something that's strained. It's not something that he struggles with, but it's something that just flows out of him. That's the anointing, that whenever you're in ministry and whenever you're serving God and you have the anointing upon you, whatever it is that you're doing, it just flows out of you. And so if some knucklehead comes and says something to me that's offensive, or if somebody does something that affects my spirit, right? That if the anointing is upon me, I don't quit, right? Man, to quit is to shut down the anointing in your life. And I've seen it happen in the lives of a lot of people that they've got offended, that something happened, and they stopped doing ministry. And as far as the anointing that God had on your life, you basically shut the anointing off of your life. I was telling the leaders yesterday that one of the things that I love to do, I love to teach and I love to preach the word of God. And when I'm studying, you know, that the anointing, it just jumps all over me as I'm studying, and I'm able to pick out little nuggets that are in the Word. I'm able to understand the Word. I'm able to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to take these difficult concepts and be able to explain them to your children, to your sheep. And then as I study, that anointing comes on me. And the Lord begins to give me understanding and revelation of the passage that I'm studying. And then the Lord begins to give me ideas how to present it. The Lord begins to give me illustrations as to how to give it. That's that anointing flowing for ministry. That if, as you serve God, you know, the anointing, like the choir members standing up here this morning, you know, hopefully they all stood in the anointing, right? They knew that this is what they're supposed to do, and that there was something in their spirit that connected with the Holy Spirit, and that as they ministered to us this morning, that they were laboring under the anointing. Whatever it is that God, whatever ministry it is that God has called me to, He gives me the anointing for it. If you go to the next slide, Rick Warren, he says this: When God appoints me, He anoints me. So whatever ministry it is that God has appointed you to, if your ministry, my goodness, if your ministry has become a burden to you, if your ministry has become laborsome, if your ministry has become a drudgery, let me say this, that there's a disconnect somewhere between what you're doing and the anointing. Because if the anointing is on you, that you do what you do with joy, and you serve with joy. Because where God appoints, He anoints. And you have been anointed for ministry. But let me move past the idea of ministry, and let me deal with this idea of living. That not only have we been anointed for ministry, but we have been anointed for living. God has anointed you to live your life. And if you're living a life that let me go back, if you would, AJ, to the fruit of the Spirit, the checklist, the fruit of the Spirit checklist. If you go back to there, right? If I'm not connecting and anointed, you know, with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, there's a disconnect between the anointing and my living, right? So let me go back. You know, Pastor Glaze, I'll point out myself. You know, at some moment where I sat there at that light and I got tired of sitting at that light, watch this now. So I'm saying me. So I don't want to offend you. I'm saying me, right? At some point, I got in the flesh. That quick. I'm preaching a message on anointing. I'm asking the Lord this morning to let me live a life anointed and to be able to have this anointing check at any point in the day and say, fruit of the Spirit, right? And before I could get here to the church, right, I got in the flesh. Yeah. Patience just flew out the window, all right? And so, you know, I've got to ask myself, you know, what happened? You know, what happened? You know, if you are laboring under the anointing, but you know, the beautiful thing about it, and I'm going to get to this in a second, is the fact that you can get back under the anointing, you know, real quick. You can get back under it real quick, all right? The Lord has this cup that's filled with oil, right? He has this cup that's filled with oil. He's just walking along the side of the road looking for people that have run out of oil. And that whenever he sees that your cup is low on the anointing, that the Lord ready to fill it back up again, to anoint you afresh and anew. And so, again, anointing check, fruit of the Spirit, right? At any point in time during the day, you know, I should be able to stop and maybe have Galatians, 5:23 and 24 somewhere. Maybe I just put it out like this and just stop two or three times during the day and just ask, how am I doing? How's my anointing? How am I making out? Because God not only gave you anointing for ministry, God also gave you anointing for living. So if you'll go back, AJ, to that other slide. Believers have been anointed for living. My. You have been strengthened to deal with difficult people and circumstances. And if you're struggling in this area, again, there's a disconnect between you and the anointing. Look at Ephesians 3 and verse 16. All right. It says that he would grant you, according to his riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit, where? In the inner man. In the inner man, right? That you have an anointing that the Holy Spirit resides in you, and there's an anointing that gives you strength to be able to deal with any situation or any circumstance that you come up against. And, you know, I just have a hard time believing that the Lord looks at every one of our struggles and he says, "That's all right, my child, I understand." I think there are some. I think some that we bring on ourselves, and that because we have not bathed ourselves in the Word of God, because we have not bathed ourselves in prayer, because the anointing is not resting upon us, that we struggle with certain things. And, you know, I don't think the Lord is up there saying, "That's okay, you know, that's all right." I think the Lord is up there saying, you know, "You need to get things right. You need to connect with me so that we have the anointing." I was sharing an illustration with the leadership yesterday about a candle back in the old days when they had the candle and they had the oil, and that there was a wick that came up out of the candle with the oil. And while the oil was burning, everything smelled all right. You know, there was a fragrance and there was an aroma that came up out of the candle that was burning. But whenever the oil burned out and it started to burn on the wick, then guess what happened? It started to stink. It started to smell. And I think that, just think, if we're laboring under the anointing, with the Holy Spirit has anointed us, the Holy Spirit is working in our life, and we're laboring under the anointing. You know, the Bible says that our sacrifices, that our service to God should be a what? A sweet-smelling aroma. And that God, when he sniffs our lives, when we do that anointing check, and God sniffs our lives, that God would go. But I was sharing yesterday, if we're burning on that wick, that sometimes God sniffs our lives and he starts to gag and he starts to choke. Why? Because we're burning on the wick. We're burning on the flesh. And when we burn on the flesh, when we burn on the wick, we begin to stink. And so God has anointed us to deal with difficult people and difficult circumstances. God has anointed us to deal with the attacks of the enemy. Psalm 23:5 says, "He anoints my head with oil." Now, man, there's so many ways that I can go with that. There's so many directions, but let me just go one direction, right? One of the things that would happen to the sheep is that in the summertime, flies would buzz around the sheep's face. And sometimes flies would go up into the sheep's nose. And you know, I'm trying not to be too gross, but they would lay maggots up in the nose of the sheep, and the maggots would go up there. And what would happen is that the sheep would not be able to take it, and the sheep would go and just begin to hit his head against a tree or something, and it would scare the rest of the sheep, right? Because why? The enemy had invaded. The enemy had come in and was causing the sheep to lose it, was causing the sheep to go crazy. But what would the shepherd do? The shepherd would take oil. Now, this is, you can read this. I think we went through the book. A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm by Keller, right? You can go, he talks about all this in there, right? And that the shepherd would take the anointing oil and put it over the face of the sheep. And that once the shepherd put that anointing oil upon it, the flies would not even come around. They would not bite. They would not even light. They would not come around because they had this anointing oil upon their face. And so God gives us the Holy Spirit. He anoints us with the Holy Spirit so that the enemy can't come in and drive you crazy. Jesus told Peter that the enemy wants to sift you. Satan wants to shake you. He wants to get up in your nose. He wants to lay maggots up in your brain. But God has anointed us. The anointing. It helps us to deal with the enemy. And it helps us to go beyond our potential. The anointing helps us to go beyond our potential. That God will stretch you to boundaries, and he will take you places that you never even thought that you could go. And I was realizing this, and you know, when we talk about things, you know, things are relative, right? I mean, so let me say what I mean. You know, things are relative, right? So when I was young and I played football, right? And every play, just about every play, I was on the ground, tackling somebody, you know, leaping out, you know, flying out, trying to tackle somebody, you know, getting blocked by somebody, getting knocked down. And, you know, if I got hurt, right, then I would have a hard time. Like, you know, you see players when they get knocked down, they get hurt, you know, they lay there. And I would have a hard time getting up. But, you know, I was a young guy, and I knew that if I was injured, that for the most part, right, that I could trust. Now, I wasn't necessarily a Christian at the time, but I could trust God, you know, in a sense that I was going to get better, right? That my body is going to get healed, right? But now when I fall, right? See, yeah, before when I would fall, I'd bounce back up. And if I got hurt, I knew that, yeah, at some point I was going to get restored and be back out there again. But now I've fallen and I can't get up. You know, I've fallen and... You know, I got to think about, no, I'm at this point. I'm not at the point right now where I've fallen and I can't get up. I'm at the point where I've fallen and I got to think about how I'm going to get up. Right? That's where I'm at now. I can still get up, but I got to think about how I'm going to get up. You know, is there something I could grab onto, something I could put up? Right? And then when I fall, I'm saying, was there anything else I can pick up while I'm down? So, you know, so when we talk about the anointing, it's relative, right? You know, it means one thing to one person, and it means something totally different to another person. That wherever you are, your circumstances in life, your environment in life, your age in life, the anointing is relative. And so God meets you where you're at, and he gives you the anointing because we know that, you know, as we grow older, that we're not going to be able to do some of the things that we used to do. And so when we talk about being stretched beyond our potential, you know, that as a young person, that means something different, that you can be stretched beyond your potential. But, you know, as an older person, you know, it means something different. But it's still the anointing that's going to help you to be able to do what it is that God would have you to do. And so that's about half my message. I'm gonna finish next week. I got a lot more I want to say, but let's look at it right there. That believers have been anointed for ministry, and we have been anointed for living, to deal with difficult people and circumstances, to deal with attacks of the enemy, and to go beyond our
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part 2 of Living Under the Anointing. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, part 2 of Living Under the Anointing, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part 2 of Living Under the Anointing. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part 2 of Living Under the Anointing. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.